All right, I'd like to call to order the Administrative Finance Committee meeting of County Council for May 12th, 2015. I'm Councilman John Cartier. I'm chairing the meeting. My legislative aide, Scott Collins, is taking the notes today. I'd like to recognize, we have a forum, I'm going to recognize the folks that are in the room. Councilman Smiley, Councilman Minor, Councilmember Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilmember Siller, Councilman Street. I'm sure there are other members of council that are going to join us here very shortly. With that, with the realization we have a quorum, I'd like to have a motion for approval.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
We have a motion to approve and a second for the minutes of the previous Finance Committee meeting of Ward 2815. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, we've approved the minutes. We're going to move on to resolutions under the revised agenda today. Resolution 15-0096 to set Newcastle County fiscal year 2016 contribution rate for the county's pension plans. And I'd like at this point to ask for council's indulgence in the committee meeting today. We have with us our consultant, the Boomershine Consulting Group, the actuarial firm that reviews our pension and helps us set the rate, which is the content of this resolution. And today we have Mr. Gregory Stump from Boomershine, who would like to make a presentation in concurrent with the resolution that's before us. So, Mr. Stump, if you'd like.
So moved.
With the indulgence of council, does anybody object?
Nah, we're good.
Okay.
Do I need to turn this on, or is it good?
I'd like to recognize the council.
It should be on.
Joined us in the chamber.
If it's not, there's enough hidden to take care of it.
Thanks for having me here today. I am Greg Stump with Boomershine Consulting Group. We're the actuaries for the retirement system for the county. So that means once a year, we come along and collect data on everybody in the plan, everybody who's active, salaries, how much service they have, everybody who's receiving benefits, everybody who's entitled to a future benefit. And we do the actuarial evaluation. And the primary purposes of the evaluation are to, number one, figure out what's the progress of funding. And we usually measure that as percentage. I'll go over those numbers with you. Number two, come up with the contribution rate for the following year. So we do this once a year, among other projects, measuring the impact of changes in benefits, allocating costs between different plans and groups. So what we have here today is the presentation that was done recently for the Retirement System Board. And I'm going to go through portions of it. You can stop and ask questions whenever you want. You can ask questions afterwards. But I did not intend to spend a full 45 minutes going over this, maybe just 15 minutes and give you the main points. So if we look at the first or the next page, all right, this is what one page back was what we went over with the Retirement System Board. And we talk, and you know, we do this every year. We talk about the different plans, the assets, what changed with the market value and assets, valuation approach, assumptions, funded status, and the rest of it really deals with contributions. There was a new item this year, which I will touch on at the end here, called GASB summary, because there have been some major changes with the GASB rules, the Governmental Accounting Standards Board. So I'll touch on that just so you all are aware of what they are, and you'll start to understand what the terms are. Of all these items, I'm going to go over the assumptions, the funding status, and the contributions, and then that GASB summary. So if we look at the next page, this is a summary of demographics. So one of the key parts of the evaluation every year is we look at the population and how it changed from the year prior. So what we have is the different groups along the left-hand column there, county employees pension plan, employees retirement system, alternative pension, the closed plan, et cetera. And the number of people in each valuation category. Actives means people who are actively employed. Terminated vested means people who are no longer employed, entitled to a future benefit, but haven't started receiving it yet. Retired and disabled are actually receiving benefits from the fund. So what you see there is a slight increase in the population over last year. But another thing that's important to notice is that the county 2011 pension plan, which is the one that all new hires are going to now, is starting to get to I wouldn't say a critical mass, but it's starting to get to a point where it's making a difference in the cost. We have 94 members in that category right now. We'll not have any retirees in that category for many years. If we look at, let's go to, okay, there's a lot of investment information there, but if we look at page 7, that's going to be a summary of the fund and how it changed during the year 2014. Let's see, should be a couple more. Right, next one, yeah, right there. Right, so end of the year asset value is at the bottom of the page there, $425 million, up from $417 the year before. But one thing that we should all recognize on this page is the benefit payments. So we have contributions and investment income coming in at $28.8 million, benefit payments going out at $35.5 million. That's not problematic, but it just shows you that there is a heavy cash flow demand on the pension fund to pay benefits because, you know, looking back to the page we just went over, there are over 1,300 retired and disabled members receiving benefits. That's more than the number of actors.
All right. Councilman Weiner had a question.
Thank you. And greater flow going out as opposed to income coming in is sort of a endemic of our whole country with we aging boomers, I'll include myself, in that curve. You said it's not problematic. So if it's not problematic, what is it? Is it a matter of concern? Is it a matter that we can adjust to? Are we making those adjustments?
Well, it tells us two things. Number one, the contributions are going to increase over time, you know, until we get to that equilibrium point. We can't have contributions and income of $28.8 million every year while, you know, 35 plus is going out. So that's one thing. The other thing is really an investment issue. The board decides on their asset mix, and they have to keep liquidity in mind because, you know, $3 million is going out every month. They need to make sure they have enough liquidity in the portfolio that they can make those payments.
Are they making adjustments?
Yeah, that's something that the board is constantly considering. Now, they have a separate consultant that works on the investments with them. So we don't really have any say in that, but we do keep an eye on the issue.
Thank you.
My comment to that being said, I think we've done great service to the pension board. We have appointed some people recently who bring a tremendous amount of expertise to that body, and they handle this very important financial asset for our retirees. Okay.
And I always like to focus on that number, too, because you think about it, that's the reason we're all here. You know, we're providing benefits to a lot of people in the system. Let's look at page 9, and you'll be happy to know I'm not going to go over every little part of this, but, you know, if you want to look at this for reference later, this is a summary of all the actuarial assumptions. A couple things to point out. The 7.5% assumed investment return among public plans, That's the median right now. That's what most plans are using. You go back 5-10 years, it was 8% for everybody, and, you know, the boards have come down. Plans have realized 8% long-term, nobody really believes that anymore. So we're in a good spot there. We're not being too aggressive with that assumption. And we talk about, you know, what's the impact of, you know, what if we decrease that? So it's something we always keep an eye on. The other assumptions are all based on what we call an experience study. We looked at the plan's experience over a number of years, 4 or 5 years, and said, okay, is what we're assuming matching up with what's really happening with the plan? Are people retiring at the ages we think they're going to? Are they living as long as we think they're going to, et cetera, et cetera? So we reviewed each and every assumption and updated these and presented that to the board last year. So we're in a good spot for the assumptions. Right in the middle of the page, it says mortality. We're using projected mortality improvements to take into account the fact that people are living longer. That's good. That's conservative. That's what we want to do. So we're up to date on that assumption as well as all the others. And to the valuation results, on the next page, what we see is a summary of the funded status 1 year to the next. So and we always look at, you know, what happened from the last valuation to the current valuation. And there's two sets of these numbers. I can tell you, I'll explain what they are, but the numbers in the top table are much more important. These are the ongoing concern, ongoing plan numbers. Actuarial accrued liability, the first number there, that's what I would call an asset target. In a perfect world, the assets in the fund would always be exactly equal to that. It doesn't happen that way. So what we do every year is say, all right, well, what's our asset target? You know, we know that we need $150,000 for this retiree because we expect them to live this many years. We need $20,000 for this person who started work a couple years ago but has built up some level of accrued benefit, and everywhere in between. So we add all those together and say, okay, how does that compare to the actual assets in the fund? The actuarial value of assets is a little different than the one we just looked at a couple minutes ago, where the bottom line was $425 million. This one's $413 million, and the only reason it's different is because this is based on asset smoothing, where instead of having the contribution rate bounce around, you know, up, down, with all the market volatility, each year we measure the gain or loss and smooth that in over 5 years. So the fact that 413 is lower than 425, that's good news. That means we have an extra $12 million that we haven't recognized yet. But again, the whole purpose of that is just to smooth out the contribution rate so it doesn't bounce around a lot. So we compare the actuarial value of assets to the accrued liability, the asset target, and we get, it was about 75% last year, 75% this year, a 0.8% increase. That's good. So we see improvement there. And going back to averages and public plans, we got the 7.5% return assumption. That's right in line with the median there. Mid-70s is also right in line with public plans across the country. So we're in good shape there in terms of funding status. The bottom section, which again is just something we show to compare year to year, but it's less important, that is measuring only accrued liabilities. So saying, all right, if everybody stopped accruing benefits today, how does that compare to the asset value? So it's a useful tool just measuring year-to-year changes, but there's no asset smoothing needed for that because the contribution is not based on that. But still we can compare, you know, 83% to 82% from the prior year. So that is considered a slight loss, but it's very, very small.
Mr. Chair.
Councilman White.
Could you refresh our recollection on what are the recommended funding ratios? I know there's been some changes in national standards.
The funding ratio, well, basically what we do is we're always shooting for 100%. And the question is, how many years do you take to get there? And whether or not you actually hit 100% at any point in time is not really that important. The important thing is that we're going in that direction. I think of it as a big ship, and you're heading towards the horizon. Well, if you're off course a little bit, say you're off course a little bit this way, you're under 100%, you're going to steer the ship a little bit more towards your target, towards the horizon. You're not going to try to make up for it all at once and put in $135.7 million, because that would be disastrous. But that's why I like to think of it as a ship. So you're going to say, all right, we're a little off course, let's slowly steer in that direction. If we project this out, we expect to see something near 100% in 20 years or so. However, we all know that, you know, it's going to have to depend on what happens in the next 20 years. So it's going to bounce around a little bit in between there. But the funding method is designed to move towards 100% at all times. If we happen to be sitting here after an extended bull market and we're at 120%, it would be the same story, except the ship would be a little off course in the other direction. You're still going to steer back towards 100% by pulling back on the contributions in that case.
So I don't know that if I phrased the question that I really was trying to elicit, and that's good background. There's a percentage target that's now being recommended. And having said that, you also made reference to the fact that we know there are always bull and bear markets, and we always know that this big ship is steering a percentage-wise upward and downward along this recommended line. Is that line 80%? Is it 90%?
Okay, I know what you're getting at now. There is no official benchmark for government plans.
Is there a recommended target?
There's an unofficial 80% is deemed to be a good funding ratio, I think, by most people. There's nothing anywhere that's written that says this is what you need to have a good to have a strong funding.
So we're above that, and we're sort of hopefully still looking at a bull market going forward.
Yeah, and there are some unrecognized gains coming in over the next couple of years.
Very good. Thank you.
I'm just going to pause and recognize Council President Bullock has joined us and Councilman Hollins. All right.
But these numbers, I guess, to follow up with the discussion, the funded ratio of 75.3% is considered a good funded ratio for the public sector plans.
Yes, and more importantly, I would say, is when we do a projection, which we have to do for GASB rules now, we see that it improves each and every year. So it's not like we're sitting at 75% and you know, we have a weak funding policy where it might drop. We are headed in the right direction. I will skip all the details of the contribution rate unless anybody wants to go over those. But if we just look at page 13 with the blue bars, this just shows you what the contribution rate was. And this is percentage of payroll. And it just shows on the left-hand side what it was last year and to the far right what it was this year. But it's also important to look at the ones in between and say, okay, what changed from one year to the next? And it wasn't a whole lot of change. We went from 24.59% to 23.47%. A couple years ago, there was an increase in the contribution rate because we were still dealing with the 2008 market losses. So there was a decision made by the board, which I understand has been done a couple of times in the past, to increase the contribution rate, but to do it a few percentage points at a time so that we could catch up to the actuarial cost. So this year, the one to the far right was actually scheduled to be 24.7%, but we didn't even need to go that far because we caught up already. So it turns out that policy worked very well. So what happened from last year to this year? We expected a decrease that has everything to do with the asset smoothing. So we go back a year and say, well, you know, what happened prior to 1/1/14? We still had some gain sitting there. So much like we have the 425 versus 413 now, we were in a similar situation one year earlier. So we knew that contribution rate should come down a little. Then what happened was we got the actual market returns for 2014, slightly lower than expected. And you can see that with the two middle bars there, from 22.93% to 23%. That's a very, very small change. And that's because instead of the 7.5%, we got somewhere around between 6 and 6.5%. The other change from 23 to 23.47 is all demographic forces. Salaries different than expected, number of retiree deaths different than expected, different number of retirements than expected. Those things always cause a demographic gain or loss. Sometimes it's a gain, sometimes it's a loss. But it's usually in the neighborhood of 1 or 2%. So the fact that it's less than 0.5% says, you know, there wasn't a lot going on there. Now, that we provide the rate as a percentage of pay. Finance office calculates, you know, the expected pay for the year, puts that in the budget, and applies this rate. So that's what's in the resolution. The last thing, unless there are other questions along the way, the last thing I wanted to go over is number 15, which shows the GASB summary. And again, the main reason I want to talk about this with you all is because you'll hear these terms. You'll see articles, you'll see information in the media referring to this. So there's a few things that I think you should understand. That we publish a full report, you know, 25 pages that goes to the county finance office. I'm going to just sum it up for you in a minute here. But there were some substantial changes to GASB accounting. We used to be under GASB 25 and 27 for government pensions. Now we're under number 67 and 68. And those are the biggest changes in government pension accounting since they started it. So that's why this is significant. Keep in mind, GASB does not affect funding at all. They don't make funding rules. They can't dictate how you fund, when you fund, etc. They do require you to report certain numbers, and the pension expense will not be the same as whatever you're contributing that year. It's going to be lower or higher. The funding ratio is not going to be the same as the one we just looked at. However, it should be similar. But it's going to either be lower or higher. The measurement date is slightly different, so that explains part of the change. The accrued liability is slightly different. GASB is now calling that the total pension liability. That's in the GASB column in the middle of the page there. Assets measured at market value. Now, again, it's a different measurement date, so we haven't seen that number yet today. That's as of June 30. And the funding ratio is the ratio of the two above it. So on a GASB basis, it looks better. I mean, we're almost at 80% right there. The unfunded liability that we just talked about for funding purposes, the one that the contribution rate is based on, is that's in the bottom right-hand corner of this page, 136 million. For GASB purposes, it's just the difference between the market value of assets and that total pension liability on June 30th. So it's even less than that. So GASB made some changes. Things look a little bit different, but they actually look better on that basis right now.
Question.
Yep. Councilman Warren.
Thank you. The new GASB standards are much more conservative. Thus, is it correct to conclude that the smaller unfunded liability under the new GASB rules shows a good trend for Newcastle County?
Yes, I would agree.
Thank you.
And that was my last topic there, unless there are other questions.
Are there any other questions, comments from County Council on the review of the pension plan by the Boomershine Consulting Group? Setting our recommended increase in our pension rate.
I ran it to Mr. Mitch.
So what I conclude is that you know, we're doing pretty well, and we're not, you know, exactly at the top, but we're you know, sort of like a high middle rating in terms of our pension assets and funding and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what I take from this resolution, just doing a little math, we're going to increase the recommended increase of the primary county-sponsored pension plans from 21.7% to 23.47% is a 1.77% increase. And that will be $18,895,290. $18,895,290. What was the prior year? What was the prior year pension funding amount, gross amount? Can anybody answer that from the finance department? As I recall, it was around $16 million, maybe.
Ed probably knows the answer to that. Well, there's this page here.
I thought it was in here.
Yeah, I just want to clarify, though, that the $18 million is also includes the county contribution that we make to the state police, to the state municipal plan. So the 23.47%, that's only county plans.
Okay.
The actual county contribution for this plan is $15,717,000.
Okay. Our actual contribution. The rest we get from the state.
Exactly. But then we also give a contribution to the state for the police that are in the state municipal plan. That's $3.1 million.
Okay.
And if you add those two together, you get the total $18
million. Thank you for that clarification.
Last year, somebody, I don't have the rough hand, but it was less. Of course, across from the increase of the 21 number to 23% number.
Right.
Counts for an increase.
Councilman Shelton.
Ed, before you leave, I guess I don't know who would. The question came up about we need approximately $3 million in cash every month. That's what goes out. Do we have that? And
that's coming out of the fund, not coming out of the county.
No, exactly. Now, is that what I'm sorry if I said that wrong, but right, it comes out of the fund itself every month. Do we have enough cash on hand? You're saying, or is that not your fortitude to say how much is invested? Because you are kind of, the more you have to cash in. That's better stock that you have to sell.
My understanding, and I'm not the investment consultant, I'll just caveat with that, but my understanding is that's an issue that's being taken care of, and I haven't seen it raised as a concern. There's enough cash and liquid investments to make the payments.
Yeah, the pension office monitors that. They know how much money they need monthly, and they work with our investment consultant as far as, you know, what to invest, what not to invest for the monthly payments they need to make out.
So right, I guess that's a question for them.
Yeah, but they handle that. There's no issues with that at all.
Right.
They always have the money available.
Oh, no, I wasn't getting into that. My question was, if the more you pay out, the more the investment firms together have to watch what's happening because you're kind of like holding their hands back a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you are correct. That is correct. They have to keep an eye on it.
You can't, you know, okay.
Just for the record, that was Ed Milowicki offering that testimony.
Right.
All right, I think we went over this pretty thoroughly. Are there any other questions, comments from members of council on the resolution 15-096, which will set the new cap down to fiscal year contribution rate for the county pension plan? All right, any comment, questions from the public? All right, we're going to move along under ordinances. Thank you very much. Appreciate all that. Ordinance 15-046 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 14, Finance, to establish a reassessment fund. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. A couple of announcements for council in regards to these ordinances. I will be moving to table 15-046 and 047 this evening, and introduced will be 15-051 and 052. I just want to make all council members aware that these two were introduced 2 weeks ago, so I've been upwards of 3 weeks waiting for a fiscal note to be produced on these two. I'm also still waiting on fiscal notes on 051 and 052. However, whatever challenges will come, but I will be moving forward with the legislation at the proper time, with or without a fiscal note, cause failure to do so, in my mind, would be relinquishing the authority of this council to move legislation. So, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. I'll just go over the next ordinance, 15-047, to amend the annual operating budget, allocate $20 million from the general fund tax stabilization reserve account for the reassessment fund. Councilman Smiley.
And I will be moving the table at this evening.
All right. Any comments, questions? I think we're going to move to table 15-048 to amend Newcastle County Code, Chapter 22, Offenses, Miscellaneous Provisions to establish 50-yard residential safety zones or practicing with or using archery equipment, crossbows, or protecting county residents, visitors, domestic animals, and property.
Yes, if this looks familiar, it should. It is slightly different, which necessitated a new title and a new ordinance number. So the major change is from 100 to 50 yards. This meets, this meshes with the DENREC hunting requirements. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I believe in a public safety meeting, we had a very good conversation with DENREC, and so we are moving forward with the ordinance this evening.
Okay, that's great. Any questions from members of council on ordinance 15-048? Yes, Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just briefly. Councilwoman Dillon has done her homework on this, and basically she's negotiated and done an excellent job with DENREC, and it's my understanding they don't have any problem with it now, and hopefully it can go forward because it is a major safety hazard that needs to be addressed.
Okay, very good. All right, any questions, comments from members of the public on this ordinance? Okay, moving along, ordinance 15-043, tabled, to require execution reassessment of real property in Newcastle County at its true market value as of July 1st, 2015, with preparations budget for and to begin with the FY 2017 budget cycle, and with the reassessment to be concluded in time for the February 16, 2017 annual assessment roll. Councilman Smiley.
This will remain table.
Okay. All right, we're going to move along to Council Grants. All right, we only have one on the agenda tonight. Councilman Sheldon, the Maple Crest Civic Association.
Yes, they've requested $1,000 to replant all the trees and so forth that was damaged in the storms this past winter for their entrance signs and so forth. So I make a motion for $1,000.
Second. I have a motion and a second for $1,000 for the Maple Crest Civic Association. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
Councilman Smiley, not voting.
On not voting. Okay, grants approved. We already went through the Boomershine evaluation presentation for the pensions. We've moved that in with the resolution. Presentation on county short and long-term investments. I guess, Councilman Smiley?
Yeah, when I sent over the revised agenda along with a spreadsheet that has to be completed, I was advised that Mr. Coop was unavailable. Didn't say specifically for this meeting, but he was unavailable, and this was the topic. So, you know, that's when you assume, but I'm making the assumption that this will be added to the finance agenda 2 weeks from now.
Okay. Moving along, expense and revenue roundtable. Do I have anything for the expense and revenue roundtable? Yes, Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I don't know that this is actually expense and revenue roundtable, but I do have a comment. So it's either this or other. Since we passed the ordinance on the amnesty law, I've had several emails and phone calls from constituents complaining about our penalty fees, and that they are higher than the other two counties, and even when they're on a payment program with Newcastle County, they never can catch up to get to the principal because of the high rate of penalty that we have. And I'm just wondering if maybe we can put this on an agenda. I can certainly do some research in calling the other two counties and figure out how they handle theirs, but if in fact we are high enough that we are, it's more than a penalty to some. I mean, are we cutting off our nose to spite our face in that all they're ever doing is paying the penalty, and then we have to wait until somebody dies or moves or whatever to actually get the taxes back? I'd just like to have that on the agenda for discussion.
I have no problem with that, and I think it's always valuable to look at how the effectiveness of whatever penalties and the comparability with the surrounding counties. I have no problem with a review of that. And I guess, the idea of the penalty is to get people actually, pay the taxes owed. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Councilman Cartier. I would ask Councilwoman Kilpatrick if you would give us the latitude of waiting until after we get through the budget, whenever that is, and we'll put it on the finance agenda. I know 2 weeks from now, I mean, we've been trying to get some of this information for quite a while. We're going to have the research. So, if you wouldn't mind, I guarantee it. If things are still backed up, at the latest, we'll put it on the second meeting of June. Fair enough?
I just wanted to ask that it go on an agenda.
No.
I mean, some of these people, one of them that called me, is $11,000 in arrears, and his bill goes up several hundred dollars in penalties every month. So, if you are paying off a couple hundred dollars a month, you're never going to catch up.
Okay.
Like a credit card.
Councilman Retta, you had your hand up.
Yeah. Thank you. I'd like to ask the Councilwoman also if these other counties, their taxes that are being paid by the constituents, if they're higher than ours, because I understand where you are. From the other counties, are you referring to Delaware or other states?
No, I was just referring to Kansas.
Okay. All right, because I thought it was other states, because I know the other states, their taxes are higher.
Right.
And, okay.
No, I was just referring
to our. Okay, thank you. All right, thank you.
Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to look at that and hope that in examining penalties, we can also include looking at the city of Wilmington, and one of the problems I have not run into it in the county, but one of the problems that I've run into in the city is you owe penalty for back taxes, and now seniors who would otherwise be eligible for home repair programs are deemed ineligible. They can't make an arrangement on the principal until they get through the penalty. And I don't know what our policy or practice is on that, but I'm concerned. I haven't run into it with the county, but I've run into it with the city. And the other is, Councilwoman, I think you're right on target, because I got one lady. I just don't even want to answer the phone. I get tongue lashed so bad. So, all I can say is I don't make the rules. I don't assessed a penalty, but of course it's all my fault.
We all know that role all too well, Councilman Street. That's our role here.
Councilman Carter.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah. Councilman Street, back when we reworked the, correct me if I'm wrong, Councilman Hollins, but back when we reworked the seniors exemption program, after we adopted those changes, Councilman Hollins sponsored, and I co-sponsored a piece of legislation that if a senior was in arrears, they could enter into a payment plan, and as long as they entered the payment plan and stuck to the payment, the penalties and everything stopped, and they were also allowed to go into the seniors program while they got caught up. And so long as they maintained the agreement that they made, they worked their way out of it and also were eligible for the seniors plan. Am I right, Councilman Hollins?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought. So that's why you haven't heard about it in the county.
Good. Very good.
Okay. All right. Moving along under other. Anything under other? Yes, Councilman Street.
I just want to try to reflect back, and I told you I was going to keep doing it. I just keep wondering why some of y'all and Paul fired Bob Hicks.
Okay. A little bit of history there. Going forward, public comment. Anything from the public? Nothing from the public. Do I have a motion?
Motion adjourned.
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. The Administrative Finance Committee meeting is adjourned for May 12th.
Back here at 3 for public safety.
I do. I'm good. I have everything with me.
Great. Yeah, a lot of time.
I just pressed the play button.
Because he's the fall guy, that's all. No, I know that. He's the fall guy. Because bottom line, just about anybody in that finance department could bring that information up. For everything that I went over yesterday, all it should be readily accessible. And it is. It's it. Like I said, I was told by someone who knows